You're tuning in to the Designer's Inner Circle podcast, hosted by The Circle, the number one design blog by designers for designers. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Designer's Inner Circle podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Yang, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about content creation and, more importantly, how to build your content workflow so that everyone on your team is able to deliver content consistently and on time. So, as a person, I've noticed that a lot of companies especially really struggle to do this because they have so many working parts of the machine that it can be really overwhelming to figure out what exactly is your content workflow. And, you know, are you having trouble delivering content late? Do you have trouble signing it off? And does it typically get stuck in limbo? So if you find yourself nodding your head to any of these questions, then the problem is that you probably just haven't defined your workflow yet. And this definitely applies when you're working in larger teams, but even when you're working as a freelancer. I think that something that I've noticed a lot from talking to so many people over the interviews in the last few weeks is that finding your content workflow and being able to use different apps to streamline your content workflow and really defining that system and recognizing it in your head is what makes difference between, you know, a new freelancer and one who's been in the game for a lot longer, because you are able to work smarter, not just harder. And that's definitely a huge indicator of success in this field, just because productivity is everything. So what I want to break this podcast episode down is first, you know, defining what content workflow is, because I think that it can be very confusing term for a lot of people, and then talk about why we want to define the content workflow, how we define it, and who it involves, and, you know, breaking down each part of the content workflow in a way that makes sense for different teams and different projects that you guys are all working on. So to begin, let's start talking about what a content workflow actually is. So a content workflow is a set of tasks that a team needs to complete for a given client or content type. So that can either be a website, a design brief, you know, a blog post, an email, or any kind of design or marketing plan that you're pushing out, or any part of that marketing plan that you're pushing out for a client. And your content workflow is what determines how you're going to ask your client for the kind of content they want, how they are going to request it, source it, create it, review it, approve it, and actually deliver that content to their audience base. So the interesting thing about this conversation is that for many people, even if you haven't defined your content workflow so far, your team and you definitely already have one. After all, it's the process in which people start doing work. So if you're doing work, you already have a sort of content workflow going out for you. Typically, the content workflow looks like this. So you have your outline, your writing, your review period, your editing period, your proven period, and of course, actually publishing. I think the easiest way to understand what this looks like is to just draw a diagram. But unfortunately, you can't do that. But I'm sure many of you guys can picture what this looks like. I know that from what I've seen in the community, people use different kinds of management systems for this. I know that here at The Circle, we often use Notion to plan out our content workflow. And we combine that with, you know, Adobe XD, and that helps us get content out there. But, you know, other teams might use Trello or other integrated systems. There's this website that I used to really love when I was working on my blog post, and that was plan.co. And they are a great management system if you are looking to just see your agenda and be able to keep track of tasks and put them and organize them in like a project-based manner. So if you're interested in that, definitely check them out. But an interesting way that this content workflow specifically has been phrased at is it's a swim lane. So each role is in a swim lane, which conveys the progression of tasks across roles vertically and over time horizontally. So for example, the content strategist is going to be the earliest in that swim race because they're creating the brief and then they're handing it off to the copywriter. And then the copywriter is handing it off to the graphic designer who's making images. And then you're handing it off to an expert. And then you go back and forth between all three of those lanes to get revisions. And then you upload it to your content management system. You review it, you approve it, and then you publish it. So between that, you're interacting a ton with all these different levels. So it's definitely not just like, you know, going down the pyramid. You have to send stuff back. You have to keep on having those conversations. And I think that's where people find they're having the most delay, because when you just hand something off to someone and be like, okay, can you review this? Can you tell me if it's good? Then, you know, there's definitely that waiting period that makes it a lot harder for people to actually just get things done a lot faster. But the reason why we're going to talk about this today, and I'll come back to, you know, speeding up the content process later, is because if you leave your workflow undefined, like I said earlier, then it's really hard to keep track of large number of projects, and projects often get stuck. And this is largely because when you don't have a set and well-defined workflow, people don't really know what's expected of them, and they don't know or are unfamiliar with how much time it might actually take to do something. So if you send in your brief and then you're like, hey, can you review this? They're like, oh, that'll be a 5-minute task. Just do it before the meeting. But then it turns out to be like, you know, a 2-hour task. But they don't know that because they haven't defined their job really, and they haven't defined their own expectations and other people's expectations of what they're supposed to be doing on the job. So that means that when we do actually define that content workflow, we're able to break down the content process into manageable tasks, you know, identify each piece of the content stage of development, and then identify each step of the content to receive approval and actually know who is responsible for each step and when. So a defined content workflow is able to tell those people in the roles where the content is in the process, when's their turn to work with it, and what they need to do to execute their tasks and make sure that you guys are all working together to really put something amazing out there. And it also just helps people who are managing the content teams to see if there's any delays that go beyond just workflow, and that can really help when trying to alleviate any issues that you might come across. So I think that for the next part of this conversation, which is just talking about who's actually involved in this, it's easy to just throw around some names, but there are actually pretty specific roles that come down to this. And I think these roles are definitely one of the issues that occur when working content for freelancing, especially. So, for example, on Instagram, there are tons of freelancers who specialize in graphic design and content strategy or marketing, right? But for each of those individual people, some of them have content teams behind them where there's another content strategist, and there's writers and graphic designers and project managers and, you know, reviewers and developers behind that content strategist. And I think that something that's hard when you're a freelancer is being able to hand over the reins and be okay with someone else managing your content strategy, or, you know, allowing other people on your team to have a better sense of their role there. Because if you're willing to hire people to manage your content strategy, then you definitely have to be willing to open your mind to actually letting them, you know, do their job and set those expectations early on. Because something that happens when you're working in freelance is that a lot of typical workplace norms are definitely overridden. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, you are working for yourself and that comes with a lot of freedom. But with that freedom, there also comes with some downfalls if you're unable to define a lot of roles and let those roles help guide other people in your workplace. So, you know, with those roles in mind, we can really identify what tasks are applicable to each role. So for right now, we've talked about what content strategy is, why we use it, and how it's used. And we've also figured out who's actually part of each process. I mean, that process will differ and the people you need will differ from person to person. But, you know, let's actually explore what each role does. So, for example, for people who are working in design, you know, part of their expectations might just be, oh, you know, you're defining the brand guidelines, you know, you are going to help us with making sure that everything looks consistent, and you're going to be working primarily in the scheduler because you're going to be designing all the graphics, and then you want to work really, really intimately with the brand strategist and the marketing team to get content out. And, you know, these tasks change from person to person. You know, if you're a web developer, then you're probably handing off a lot of copywritten material to the copywriter, and you're probably uploading and working closely with the graphic designer to make sure that a lot of the graphics are consistent and making sure that you stay on brand for the website as well. So I don't think that it's very necessary to put a box around each role right now, just because, again, just at the circle alone, we've seen so many different kinds of accounts who have very different needs, and the teams that work behind them also have very different needs. I know that right now the circle is looking into building our own content team, and a lot of the things that we want to see from our content team are very different from what you might expect at a different team, just because we're working on so many different projects and accelerating at a speed that a lot of the roles are expanded because of that. So we're going to talk about that later, but that's just something I want to mention. You know, even though we're trying to break down what each role does, just keep in mind that these things aren't a box. Like, you don't have to feel pressure to stay inside the box to do your job right. But on that note, let's talk about the flow, because I think that even when you don't necessarily have a box around each job, there's definitely a way in which you build a workflow. And the biggest way this comes into play is in deadlines. So I know that for people who are working in marketing, you know, and who deal with clients most of the time directly, deadlines aren't an unfamiliar subject to you. But if you're working in a new team, things to keep in mind is that, you know, saying that as soon as possible, that's not a deadline. Saying yesterday is not helpful. You have to be very, very specific with time management, and you have to be specific with deadlines and what time you want to see the stages of the content production actually come into fruition. So these kinds of stages need to have very clear milestones and dependencies so that the whole team can actually see these interrelated deadlines. And, you know, that comes with using something like a calendar to manage your time, and using different kinds of management systems to see how everything is related. So if we go back to that idea of a swim lane, and we see those different interactions between the swim lanes that are going vertical as the project moves horizontally, then we're also able to kind of have a sense of the different time requirements and time interactions between each of those sections. So the first step in actually doing this is just letting people know when in the workflow they are needed. As a project manager, you can do this by writing out something visually or just using a tool, or just in general, communicating really well with the rest of your team to understand when they're called on deck and what they need to do. Because pushing content through the workflow requires a really strong shared understanding of keeping things on track. So, for example, if you know that a certain web developer is away every Monday night, then don't set the sign-off date for Monday, because that is going to thwart your success and set things up to be late from the beginning. You have to understand people's schedules, and there just has to be a ton of communication involved when you're trying to manage your content team and build a workflow that actually works. And with that also just comes being realistic about when things can be done, because time and time again, we've talked about, you know, this hustle culture in freelance. And if you're constantly working and grinding, it's not sustainable. And above all else, when you're working with other people, it's just not realistic to expect them to be working constantly to get out content for your team, because, you know, the whole point about working freelance is to have more freedom, and that kind of grind and hustle culture definitely is not going to help you when you're trying to build a well-working, sustainable content workflow. But the next stage of that is not just understanding the different time requirements, but also being able to assign people to oversee each content project. So you can do that within systems, but again, that's also something you can communicate with people. So for example, if you have a Slack channel, then adding someone and then informing them that, oh, like, we just finished this document, can you give it a look? Then that's something that will help you with your content workflow. So far you've, you know, identified the time management, and now you are adding the assignment component, and that's what helps you actually get tasks up and going, which is, you know, assigning things. And then the second way that this helps is that it helps you avoid the blame game, where if something goes wrong and you guys don't necessarily understand where it went wrong, then you're able to just look back on who did it instead of pointing your fingers all around and being like, oh, this person didn't look at this, or this person didn't look at that, when they in reality had nothing to do with the problem at hand. And I think on that subject, with the idea of the different softwares you can use, it's really important to understand that this technology that you use has to really work for you. You know, it's not enough to use a project management software like Notion if your team is all about just getting Instagram posts up, right? You're not going to be able to schedule Instagram posts within Notion, but you can do that on a thing like Later. But if you're using Notion for everything and you don't really have a set purpose for it, then you're not really being effective. So I think a huge part that factors into when you're building a content team in the beginning is just playing around with different tools and trying to figure out what your team actually needs and what different aspects and expectations you are expecting of the workflow that you're building here. So far, we've identified who's involved and what each role does, and identified when and how tasks should be getting done. But, you know, actually integrating that is the hard part. So now we're just going to talk about a few general tips to get content workflow done. I think that something that you lose during freelancing is the ability to just talk with people over the phone. I think that it's really easy to hide behind texting and rely on texting because, you know, it's less demanding of you as a person because you can do it while you're doing other work. But when you're actually building a team, something that's really important is being there for them physically if you can, and at least over the phone. So if you're able to have stand-up meetings every week, then do that, because that's going to help you build a really great team. And if you're not, then that's okay too. But having sort of rituals for your company and your brand and your content team is going to help you guys unite a lot better as a front. And it's going to help you guys communicate a lot better. And again, that's central to everything when it comes to building a workflow that genuinely works for you guys and not against you. And the second tip that comes that's sort of related to that is just making sure that as you're building content, you also have a way, or at least some kind of system to get user feedback from not just, you know, a client, but from your audience. So for example, if you are building content to release to your audience, then you want to make sure that along the way, you're able to communicate the feedback that the user has given to you to all levels of the content team. Because again, like, you guys are operating as a team, and if you're unable to really talk about the things that you guys need to see from each other, and the different ways that content has been received, then you're not going to really make a lot of great progress in trying to fix that content and delivering better content each time. And on that note, the final tip that we have for you guys today is to just always be open to changing how you do content. So this entire conversation has been centralized on this idea of building content that works for you, and very, very, you have to really understand the structure and have a very firm structure so that your content workflow does not just completely collapse. But on the flip side of that, because you're, you know, social media and the news and everything is constantly changing, so is, you know, the kind of things that you guys need to do in content workflow. If your team has hired a legal assistant early on in the content workflow, but you guys are starting to realize that that's not really necessary in what you do, or if you have a copywriter, but you're realizing that you're mostly doing digital content that's just art and you can write captions yourself, then maybe to cut down on costs and increase your productivity and make sure there's less steps, then maybe you should just evaluate whether or not that role is really necessary in your company. Because as hard as that may be to hear for some people, sometimes if you're not really needed there, then there are other opportunities for you to find work in a place where you are contributing a lot to the effectiveness and the productivity of a content team and just a team in general. So on that note, I think that kind of brings us to the end of this conversation, what we wanted to discuss today. The reason why I really want to talk about these is because Circle is actually working on building our content team right now, and we're hiring for a variety of different jobs. And more information on that will be released coming on next Monday. But, you know, I just wanted to talk about it and explore it a little bit with you guys here today in case you are interested in applying and you wanted to hear our take on what content workflow should be like and what we expect from our teams. So if you have any questions on that, please make sure that you have our post notifications turned on for the Circle, and we'll be releasing more information on that soon. But until then, I'll see you here next week. And yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys again. So once again, I'm Ellen Yang, the host of the Designers Inner Circle podcast, and I can't wait to hear from you guys again next week. Make sure you like this podcast, download it, follow us on social media at The Circle, and stay tuned for future updates. Hopefully we have a new interview coming out next week.